There are a number of special techniques associated with the game of making observations, and much of what is called the philosophy of science is concerned with a discussion of these techniques. The interpretation of a result is an example. To take a trivial instance, there is a famous joke about a man who complains to a friend of a mysterious phenomenon. The white horses on his farm eat more than the black horses. He worries about this and cannot understand it, until his friend suggests that maybe he has more white horses than black ones. It sounds ridiculous, but think how many times similar mistakes are made in judgments of various kinds. You say, "My sister had a cold, and in 2 weeks," it is one of those cases, if you think about it, in which there were more white horses. Scientific reasoning requires a certain discipline, and we should try to teach this discipline, because even on the lowest level, such errors are unnecessary today. Another important characteristic of science is its objectivity. It is necessary to look at the results of observation objectively, because you, the experimenter, might like one result better than another. You perform the experiment several times, and because of irregularities, like pieces of dirt falling in, the result varies from time to time. You do not have everything under control. You like the result to be a certain way. So the times it comes out that way, you say, "See, it comes out this particular way." The next time you do the experiment, it comes out different. Maybe there was a piece of dirt in it the first time, but you ignore it. These things seem obvious, but people do not pay enough attention to them in deciding scientific questions or questions on the periphery of science. There could be a certain amount of sense, for example, in the way you analyze the question of whether stocks went up or down because of what the president said or did not say. Another very important technical point is that the more specific a rule is, the more interesting it is. The more definite the statement, the more interesting it is to test. If someone were to propose that the planets go around the sun because all planet matter has a kind of tendency for movement, a kind of motility, let us call it an oomph, this theory could explain a number of other phenomena as well. So this is a good theory, is it not? No. It is nowhere near as good as a proposition that the planets move around the sun under the influence of a central force, which varies exactly inversely as the square of the distance from the center. The second theory is better because it is so specific. It is so obviously unlikely to be the result of chance. It is so definite that the barest error in the movement can show that it is wrong. But the planets could wobble all over the place, and according to the first theory, you could say, "Well, that is the funny behavior of the oomph." So the more specific the rule, the more powerful it is, the more liable it is to exceptions, and the more interesting and valuable it is to check. Words can be meaningless. If they are used in such a way that no sharp conclusions can be drawn, as in my example of oomph, then the proposition they state is almost meaningless, because you can explain almost anything by the assertion that things have a tendency to motility. A great deal has been made of this by philosophers, who say that words must be defined extremely precisely. Actually, I disagree somewhat with this. I think that extreme precision of definition is often not worthwhile, and sometimes it is not possible. In fact, mostly it is not possible, but I will not get into that argument here. Most of what many philosophers say about science is really on the technical aspects involved in trying to make sure the method works pretty well.